Hi, I'm Siobhan, your sales how-to gal, bringing you another episode of the Sales for Lawyers podcast. We have come to the end of Black History Month. I participated yesterday in EY's Black History Month Executive Conference, and one of the topics was how to effectively develop diverse talent. This is what was on the minds of the executives from many of your clients, including Microsoft, Boeing, American Airlines, Baker Hughes, the private equity and venture capital firms that participated in this Big Four professional services firm's annual Black History Month event. What I really liked about this event is that the participants were able to have an open and honest discussion without being accusatory or defensive or guilty. There was an open-mindedness and a genuine intent to do better. The companies didn't start out on the defensive by explaining that they have some minority talent that is thriving in their workplaces. That was evident, it was obvious, because many of the panelists were African Americans and they held positions of authority from office managing partners at EY to corporate vice presidents and general counsels at some of the represented companies. And though this was a virtual conference, I am assured that the thousands of us in the audience listening were not there to place blame nor to complain. We were there to provide information about our talent, our interest in being included, and our ability to fit within and add to corporate culture. So that is the spirit in which I hope you are listening to this podcast. Now, each episode of this podcast has an intended audience, not always the same people. Sometimes it's persons involved in budgeting and planning. Sometimes the intended audience is persons involved in executing business development plans, and so on. For this episode, everyone is welcome to listen. There's nothing secret being said here, but the intended audience, those I think will benefit most from this episode, are law firm management and minority attorneys. I'm in the professional development space. My focus is attorneys generally, meaning all races. But it makes sense during this time of year to just narrow that a bit and look at how law firms recruit, retain, develop, and promote minority talent. For the next 60 seconds, I'm going to describe a few systemic challenges that I've observed over my 20-year career as a Black attorney who has worked in all three settings, Big Four, legal firm, and Fortune 500 company. After I establish those predicates, those systemic issues, I'll close by offering some thoughts on what we can do to neutralize those challenges. Business development is a systemic challenge for minority attorneys, largely because there are not many of us who have built-in connections who hold positions of authority. Most of us are not the Obama children or Ken Chenault's children. So we're not able to pick up the phone and speak to someone who controls a major budget and who is incentivized to use that power for our benefit. Now, what about the legal firms themselves? What kinds of systemic issues exist there? In other words, a good question to ask is whether the law firm setting improves, overlooks, or exacerbates the systemic challenge that minorities have, the one I just identified. At Sales for Lawyers, I sell business development services to attorneys and legal firms. So I've had occasion and incentive to become very, very familiar with my client profile. I've studied you. I've read your websites, interviewed your alumni, formally and in casual settings, spoken with some of your leadership of all races. And on the specific topic of diversity, our topic of the day, here's what I've learned. I've had leadership, when they put their defenses down, admit that even though their recruiting has improved, they have difficulty retaining. And the individual attorneys have explained why, which I'll touch on at the close a little later in this podcast. But before I do that, I want to discuss what I've read on your websites, your collective websites. It's a synthesis here. And it says, we promote diversity. We hire women, LGBTQ, and qualified minorities. We recruit minorities from and you insert, you know, some elite schools, Stanford, Harvard, Northwestern. Now, if you work at a major legal firm, visit your website and you're likely to find a statement similar to what I've just described, because those statements are the rule, not the exception. It's as if some consultant went around and sold every law firm the same policy. So, but let's unpack that statement and see if you're saying what you intend. Let's start with the "we hire women, LGBTQ, and qualified minorities." Are the women and LGBTQ employees unqualified? Are they presumed qualified, making the modifier unnecessary? Why is the modifier necessary in front of the minority grouping? Is what you mean to say is that your hiring practices are non-discriminatory? If that's the case, you might rephrase and say that you endeavor to foster a workforce that is representative of your community and your client base, including the hiring and promotion of women, minority, and openly LGBTQ talent. And unless qualified, the term qualified modifies every grouping, leave it out. It's superfluous. Now, let's move to the second part of that diversity statement. We recruit minorities from Stanford, Harvard, Columbia, whatever schools I said earlier, the elites. Are those the only schools from which you recruit? If that's the case, if I review the biographies of the non-minority lawyers, I should not find any from William & Mary, Emory, regional schools like the University of Miami, Temple University, Tulane. Now, I told you I've studied your websites, so I know that those people, that attorneys from those schools work for you. So do you really mean that the majority can attend any law school, while the minorities are required to attend only the top 10 schools? Maybe that's the case. If so, with your clients now seriously evaluating the makeup of their workforces and looking intently to see what they can do to eliminate systemic racism, how long will it be before they begin to ask their suppliers, like your firm, to do better? How long will it be before they begin to spend their budgets with suppliers who share their values? I think it is the next logical step after they get their own houses in order. And I think it's what the diversity consultants that they're engaging right now are advising them to do to achieve the broadest reach with their efforts to eliminate systemic racism. Now, as I get ready to close, let's return to the retention of minority talent. Recall that example I gave of your minority talent, even if they do hail from Harvard and Yale, not having the built-in relationships that enable them to compete at the highest levels with their counterparts. That has driven many minorities from larger firms. They've told me that's why they left. They feel like you'll employ them, but even if they reach partner, they don't have the clientele and are still effectively senior associates. The title changed, but nothing else. Now, the equalizer to the absence of built-in relationships is having formal business development training. Controlling a book of business is key in any service business. And there are two ways to get there, at least two ways to get there. Either have the relationships that open doors, or learn the process of getting into the room and having a legitimate shot at the accounts. Now, I'm an unapologetic salesperson, so I'll end by telling you that our Sales for Lawyers Business Development Training Workshop teaches this sales process, how to get into the room, and how to convert. You can find more information on our website, www.sales4lawyers.com. I'm Siobhan, your Sales How-To Gal. Join me next time when I'll demonstrate a sales tip.